Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts 26. And there is a handout. Some of you may have gotten it as you came in tonight. If you didn't, if you would slip your hand up, and Frank has them there. And just something to help you follow along and help keep me on track. So, should have plenty for everybody. So, if you'd like one, please lift your hand for that. And we are just working through a short series here, really along the theme of becoming fishers of men. And trying to challenge our hearts about the matter of reaching out with the gospel. And we have looked at a couple of sessions already, primarily to motivate us, to exhort us, to encourage us to be faithful in the matter of reaching out with the gospel. And tonight we shift gears a little bit and just begin to look at some things that I trust will be helpful to us in terms of educating and equipping as we seek to reach people with the gospel so that we can be effective as we do so. We started out looking at a couple of passages in Matthew and Mark where the Lord called some of those disciples who had been fishermen for fish to become fishers of men. And for example, in Mark 1, beginning in verse 16, we're told that as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, His brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And that's the Lord's desire for all of us, is that we would become increasingly more effective, more willing, more used by Him in the matter of reaching out to people with the gospel. And last week we looked at Luke 5. It's a little bit longer passage there, but again, Jesus still dealing with those disciples who came from a fishing background. And we observed the command that Jesus gave to Peter. He told Peter, "Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught." And that's what we are to do. We're to launch out among people, look for opportunities to let down our nets, so to speak, to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so tonight we're just going to kind of go along those lines and just thinking about, in a practical sense, how do we get to that point of letting down the nets as we launch out into the deep. And so I've entitled the session tonight, "Opening the Door for the Gospel," or you might say, you know, "Getting to the Gospel." But just this idea of our desire ought be to share the gospel of Christ with people. And just some things that maybe will help us to get to that point. Most of us are comfortable having a conversation with somebody about the weather, about how well or not so well the Bears or the Cubs are doing, or whatever your team might be, but we tend to not be quite as quick to talk about spiritual things. And so, you know, I just want to suggest things that will kind of help prompt us and urge us in that direction, and that will get us a little more comfort level, if you will, and open the door for the gospel to be shared with folks. So let's begin here with prayer this evening. Our Father, we're thankful that You have entrusted to us the gospel of salvation. Lord, we know that we don't do the saving. It's not about us, it's what You do. And yet, Father, in Your plan, You have arranged it such that You use people to reach other people. And those of us that know You as Savior, Your desire is to live through us and work through us such that we might reach out and share with them what You have done and encourage them and exhort them, pray for them that they might be saved just as we have been. So Lord, my burden for my life and for our folks here in this church is that would become just the fabric of who we are, the way we live, with that gospel sensitivity, with that sense of urgency, with that vision and passion and heart for people around us. Same kinds of things that we see in our Savior's life. As He looked on folks with compassion, realizing they were as sheep without a shepherd. So Lord, use this session tonight to just better equip us and remind us of some things that we already know and encourage us to be more faithful. And we ask Your guidance, Your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our opportunities to reach out to others with the gospel generally kind of grow out of three kinds of personal contact. One is established relationships. People we already know. Maybe we're related to them. We live next door to them. We work with them, but people that we already have some sort of connection with. Another might be those that we encounter in the course of planned outreach. You know, we call that visitation, things like that. Paul talks about in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, going from house to house. You know, and there's a biblical basis for just sort of a systematic, purposeful reaching out to people that we don't already have an intersection in life with. We have those that we already know, but there are others out there, and God prompts us and challenges us that we would be out there seeking them out, launching out in the deep, if you will, in that sense. And the third category, if you will, you know, I might call just kind of sowing and watering in everyday life. Just those incidental contacts that the Lord brings along, and there's a chance there for you to give a tract, to speak a word of witness, to extend an invitation, whatever it might be, but just those incidental things. They're not planned, they're not relationships you already have, but they're those that God in His providence brings across your path of life. And His desire for us is that we'd have a burden for them, and as much as we're able, we'd take those opportunities to reach out to them. So there's kind of those three different areas, and the way that we get to the gospel, the way that we endeavor to open the door might be a little different in each of those situations. You know, and there's not some formula or pattern that always works. So really, all I'm doing here tonight, maybe our next session, is just suggesting some ideas and kind of cultivating some thoughts in our minds that we probably already have and have even used in our relationships with people, but to just get us thinking and try to heighten our sensitivity about reaching people with the gospel and taking steps to move in that direction. So we need to be asking God to open the door for us, for those witnessing opportunities, whatever the situation might be. Maybe it's sitting next to somebody on the metro, you know, on the way to work. Maybe it's knocking on somebody's door, ringing their doorbell, and they open the door. And obviously, the way that conversation begins in those two situations is somewhat different. You know, or that neighbor, and you're standing next to him by the grill cooking a burger, or, you know, a family gathering. And again, those situations are all different. But we need to be, in each of those situations, sensitive and burdened and asking the Lord to open the door and by God's grace, taking the opportunity to speak a word or give some literature or whatever in hopes of seeing that door open so that we can get to the gospel. You know, I suppose it's possible that some complete stranger might walk up to you on the street, tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, I'm interested in knowing more about the Bible. Can you tell me about the Lord Jesus? Most of us have not experienced that. Certainly, it's possible. Maybe some have experienced something almost that stunningly amazing. But mostly, if the conversation is to be initiated, guess what? It gets initiated by the one who knows the Lord and is burdened with reaching them. Okay, so we need to kind of embrace that burden, that responsibility that, you know, certainly the Lord can make the rocks to cry out and the Lord can just push people into our face who say, I want to know. But most of the time, we know and He wants us to be sharing. And He wants us to be looking for and reaching out for those opportunities. And so we have kind of a need to try to gently nudge conversations towards a discussion of spiritual things. And one of the ways that you can do that is by giving your testimony of salvation, how you came to know the Lord Jesus. And we see the Apostle Paul doing that on more than one occasion in the book of Acts in particular. And one such instance is in Acts chapter 26. So I don't remember if I asked you to turn there or not, but if I didn't, if you would turn to Acts chapter 26. And what I want to do tonight is just kind of talk about this matter of sharing your testimony with some. If you know the Lord as your Savior, then you have a testimony of salvation. You have a story born out of your experience, how the Lord reached out to you and brought you to Himself, and you turned to Him in saving faith, and you were saved. That's your testimony. And that's something that God wants us to use as a means of trying to open the door to give the gospel of Christ to people. And Paul would do that frequently. He would share with people what God had done in his life. And we see that here in Acts chapter 26. So let me read verse 1 here. It says, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. Now the situation here is, of course, Paul has been accosted by the Jews, and God has providentially protected him over through a series of events, and he has been in kind of a house arrest in an imprisoned status, but with a certain measure of liberty. And now there is this man, King Agrippa, and Paul has opportunity to give account before this king. And it's really the reason in terms of the circumstances for Paul standing there is to give an answer or a defense against these charges that were raised by the Jews. And he has appealed to Caesar, so in that process, that's the situation. But as we see in Paul's life, his purpose always, in every situation, in every circumstance, ultimately, is to challenge people with the gospel. So Paul's not so concerned here with saving his skin or to giving a defense as he is with telling his story and appealing to Agrippa that maybe you, Agrippa, ought to come to Christ just like I did. And there's an example there for us that we ought to follow. You know, you may go to the store to buy rubber bands, you know, whatever. That might be your purpose for being there, but you know what? God wants to use that occasion so that you have an opportunity to reach out to somebody with the gospel. And we ought to be like Paul. You know, whatever the situation is, there's that desire there to share what Christ has done for us and open the door and give the gospel if the folks will allow us to see what Christ wants to do for them. And so we see here just kind of a pattern or a model, if you will, for giving your salvation testimony. And verse 1 that we read says, okay, so Paul is now answering for himself. Paul is sharing what's on his heart. He's giving his testimony. In verses 2 and 3, we see what, for lack of a better term, I'll call the lead-in, okay? Just kind of how he kind of introduces the conversation. So, Paul says this, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially, in other words, I'm especially happy today because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And so he's just kind of setting things up here. And folks, when we meet somebody, I told you about my friend who was just kind of finger in the face, but that's not necessarily for most of us the best way. We're probably not going to be comfortable with that. But just the idea of kind of getting the conversation moving in some direction. You know, and it's an appropriate thing, just in the case of our culture, to just kind of exchange some pleasantries, to have a little bit of small talk, if you will, just trying to kind of make a connection with people. And, you know, I've heard one person describe that as what you need is help. The H stands for, you know, talk about their home, their hobbies, the humidity, whatever. E, their employment. L, their loved ones. And then get to the plan of salvation. But the idea is to kind of make a little bit of a connection there, get to know the person a little bit, let them get to know you a little bit, let them do some talking so that they'll be inclined to expect an exchange and have a desire to hear a little bit of what you have to say. But ultimately the goal is to eventually, sooner than later, but you know, as God opens the door and allows it, get to the point of sharing with them the gospel, giving the plan of salvation. And as you have that preliminary conversation, you know, be alert for needs that they may have expressed. Some people are very, very open about the burdens on their heart. I mean, you can walk up to some people as total strangers and they tell you about, you know, their employment situation, or they've lost their job, or they're struggling in their marriage, or, you know, this happened to their child, and they just kind of wear their feelings on their sleeve, and you can kind of get a feel for where they're at. Then maybe it'll help you as you present the gospel to them. Some people are closed and terse, you know, and you feel a little bit awkward, but the goal there is just to let them know you're interested in them and be gracious and be friendly. You know, and that might mean sharing a little bit about yourself, sharing about something you've observed. There's just all kinds of things. I always will remember, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before because it always pops into my mind, but Walter Wilson talking about being in a furniture store. And he's standing there in the furniture store and he's looking around and he says to the salesperson, he says, you know what? There weren't any chairs in the temple. And the guy kind of looks at him, but you know, he's got his interest, his curiosity aroused a little bit, and he uses that to just kind of walk into a discussion about the things of God, about the Bible, about spiritual things. I remember one time being in the store and seeing one of the ladies in our church when we lived out in Oregon. And it was around Easter time, and you know, I happened to be in the aisle back here. She was here, and somebody walked up, a total stranger to her, and she just said something about, "Oh, you know, are you buying things to get ready for your Easter lunch?" You know, and the person said they did, and she got used that to kind of start talking about the real meaning of Easter. You know, and you know, this is why we celebrate Easter. But you know, the Lord will give you, if you have a heart to talk to people. If your burden is, you know, "Lord, give me the opportunity to share the gospel," He's going to bring to mind just things you can use to kind of get the conversation going in a particular direction. And so there's this idea of kind of a lead-in. And Paul kind of identifies with Agrippa. He says, "Agrippa, you know, you understand about the Jewish faith." And then he's going to go on to talk about how that's Paul's roots there in the Jewish faith as well. But he's kind of making a little bit of a connection and kind of introducing where he's going to go. So he gives that lead-in, and then Paul talks about what life was like before he was saved. In verse 4, he says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." He's already kind of alluding to the gospel, the promised Messiah. "For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things also I did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." So Paul is describing what he was like before he was saved. He was a religious guy. I mean, really religious. You know, he was known for his religiosity. He was known among the Jews for the passion with which he adhered to the practice of the Jews. And so much so, when this situation with Jesus of Nazareth occurred, that Paul took it upon himself to kind of lead the charge in shutting that thing down because it was contrary to what he had thought. And he was so religious that he became murderous about it and just mean about it. And he describes that. And he describes what he was like before God intervened in his life. And you know, that's something that's helpful for us to share with folks, you know, what things were like before I was saved. And most of us probably don't have quite the vivid, dramatic testimony that Paul did in terms of what we were like before we were saved. But there's what we're trying to show is, you know, here is what life was like without Christ. Jesus came into my life. I was saved. My sins were forgiven. I received eternal life. And now my life is radically different. That's kind of where we're going with this. And so there's a place for giving that person a sense of what your life was like before you were saved. And, you know, a lot of times people have needs. And you know, if you've talked to them a little bit, you may, or if you know them already, you may kind of know what the pressures of life are. And you know, you should share with them the struggles that you may have had that led you to Christ. You know, fear of death, a lack of peace. Maybe you were religious, but it wasn't real to you. Or, you know, there was a lack of security, a lot of guilt. Your life just spinning out of control. You couldn't control certain habits. You were caught up in alcoholism or drugs or whatever it might have been. But you know that there were issues in my life. And you share that with the person. You know, and tell them maybe how you tried to satisfy those needs before salvation. You know, maybe you just tried to bury yourself in your work. You know, maybe it was through whatever, promiscuity, drugs, alcohol. Maybe it was just by pursuing the American dream. Maybe it was by, you know, becoming a sports and fitness nut. You know, maybe it was through entertainment, you know, through hanging out with the wrong kind of friend, whatever it might be. But, you know, here was what life was like. Here were the things in my life that just weren't fitting. And I was struggling. And I tried to address those things this way, and I couldn't find any answers. You know, it wasn't meeting those needs. So Paul kind of shares, you know, I was religious, but man, I hated Christians. He just kind of gives his story there of what it was like before he was saved. Then in verses 12 through 18, he shares with Agrippa how he was saved, how God saved him. It says in verse 12, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So he tells, you know, here I was going along in this old, lost condition, and God just grabbed hold of my heart. Now again, we might say, well man, if my story was that fantastic, I'd be eager to tell it as well. But you know, if God has saved you from the grips of sin, your story is fantastic. You know, it may not have the same, you know, supernatural kind of cosmic implications that we think about when we think about something like Paul here, but you know what? It's life-changing. And it's real to you. And it made a difference in your life. And we ought to share that. And you know, in Paul's testimony, he doesn't say, I finally figured it out. He didn't say, I finally got my life straightened out. I kind of solved these problems. No, he makes it real clear that, you know what? God came down and grabbed him and opened his eyes. And you know, he just, even in the way he tells the story, it's obvious it wasn't by his works. It was the Lord Jesus saying, you know, Paul, I have a plan for you. And him saying, Who art thou, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus. You've been persecuting me. And now I'm calling you to serve me. And he responds to that. Folks, we need to be free to describe to people the circumstances that God used to cause us to consider Christ as the one who could meet those needs and address the failures and the sin and the guilt and whatever it might be that's in our lives. You know, identify the events that led to your conversion. You know, maybe you're just saying, you know, I was in the store one day and someone handed me a little piece of literature and I read it and thought, that's interesting. I never read something like that before. And I looked on the back and there was the name of the church and I went to that church or whatever. Or you know, I was sitting on the bus and the guy sitting next to me was reading the Bible and I hadn't really seen that very often before. And I asked him about it and he shared, you know, whatever. But you know, the idea there is, you know, helping the person see that there's reality, that this isn't just a story. There's a personal reality to it. Here are the kinds of things. And for most of us, the kinds of things that God used to bring us to Christ aren't sensational things. They're exactly what you're engaged in talking to that person. Handing them a tract. Sharing something with them. Inviting them to church. Encouraging them in some particular way. Help them to see, you know, that those are things that God used in getting your attention. Tell them, you know, how it is that you became a Christian. You know, maybe you would mention one verse of Scripture. You know, you'd just say, you know, I was, you know, caught by the truth that's in the Bible that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And boy, did I realize that. You know, and Jesus saved me. You know, the point here is not to try to give the gospel in the middle of your testimony. But it's just really to get just a couple key points. And you want to conclude along with the ideas of, you know, then I knew that God had forgiven me and I received the gift of eternal life. And you know, Paul kind of concluded that way. He talks about eyes being opened, turning from darkness to light, and the power of God, receiving forgiveness of sins and the inheritance, the eternal life that comes to those that are sanctified by faith in God. And so, you know, you're not there trying to give an elaborate plan of salvation. Just to say, you know, I once was lost. And God got involved in my life. And He opened my eyes. And He helped me realize that He had forgiven me. And that I could have new life just by believing in what He had done on the cross. Just, you know, very, very simple at that point. And, you know, and that's when my life began to change. That's when I knew that I had eternal life. Just some sort of a kind of a concluding statement. But it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, it's just in your own words. And, you know, there's now the beginning of this new life in Christ. So Paul shared how he was saved. And then he describes what things were like after he was saved. Verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, after that, okay, when that happened, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So Paul has said, you know, here I was persecuting Christians. And I was, in fact, in the very throes of persecuting Christians, and Jesus came along, and He opened my eyes, and He saved me, and He forgave me, and He gave me new life, and He says, now go out and tell others, and that's what I've been doing ever since. And the Jews have been trying to shut me down, and they've been, you know, but God's been taking care of me, and, you know, and that's my purpose, is to just share that truth with others. So he tells what he was like before. He tells how Christ saved him, and he tells now what's happening in his life. And that's all our testimony is. You know, and it doesn't have to be fancy, it doesn't have to be elaborate, but just sharing with that person how Christ met the needs of my life, how He made a difference in my life, how my life has been transformed, not because I've gotten smarter or better or anything else, but because of what Jesus did for me. You know, and you want to kind of, at some point here, just kind of finish out with, you know, the greatest blessing to me is that I know for sure that I have eternal life. You know, I know that if I were to die, I would go to heaven. But just some, you know, I always think that it is a convicting point to lost people, to hear one speak with confidence of the eternal life that they have in Christ. You know, and you know, because so many people think, well, you can't know for sure. How can you know? And we want to just kind of wrap up that testimony by kind of laying out that point that, you know what, I know for sure. It's not because of me. And we're going to use that if they give us the opportunity to ask some follow-on questions and hopefully open the door wider. But, you know, we don't want them to leave in any way thinking, you know, if they say, well, I've got to go now, or, you know, this is all the farther, we don't want them to think that, you know, that guy cleaned up his life. We want them to realize he was a lost sinner. Christ saved him. His life has changed, and he knows. And that's what we want to kind of communicate in that testimony. And then we come to what, again, for lack of a better term, I called the close, starting in verse 24. And as he, as Paul thus spake for himself, as Paul gave his testimony, Festus said with a loud voice, this is the guy that's being relieved by Agrippa. He's stepping off the scene. Agrippa's stepping on. And he says, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. I think Festus was looking at this saying, you know, Paul, you know, you're kind of at the top of the heap there as a Jew. Now the Jew, this doesn't make any sense. And some people, it's not going to make sense to them. And our purpose isn't to force it to make sense. Our purpose is to tell what Christ has done for us and to let God use it. But other people, it will make sense. It will resonate with them. It will give them a curiosity, a desire maybe to know, how can this person be so sure about that? I'd maybe like to know a little bit more. And Paul says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king, Agrippa, he knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And so, you know, here at the close of the testimony, the goal is that maybe we can open the door and have that opportunity to share the gospel. And so you're trying to make that kind of a transition. And so if you can tell that God has stirred their interest, Paul could tell that Festus was not real keen on what he said. He was kind of being a scorner and not real interested. But I think that Paul just had that sense from the Holy Spirit and just from kind of looking in Agrippa's eyes that he could tell Agrippa was thinking about this, that something had caught his attention. And so he just kind of says, no, Festus, I'm not mad. And he turns his eyes to Agrippa and he says, King Agrippa, I know you understand this. I know you know what I'm talking about. I know you believe the prophets. I'd love to see you come to Christ. You know, and right there, he's already giving an invitation. And whereas Festus pushes back, Agrippa doesn't. Now, he doesn't embrace it, but he says, man, Paul, you make some good points. Just on what you said, it's intriguing. And there's going to be folks like that. There's going to be those like Festus. But there's going to be those where you can see God opening their eyes. And you can see God softening the heart. And your goal is to personalize it to them. You know, Paul says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Maybe you give your testimony and you say to the person, you say, Bill, has anything like that ever happened to you? You know, Mary, do you know for sure that you have eternal life? Or maybe you just ask them for permission and say, you know, could I share with you how I know that, you know, how God has changed that and how I'm so sure about that? Just as God directs you. But the goal there is, if the person will let you, to go right from giving your testimony to give them the gospel. And we'll talk about that, you know, down the road. But, you know, just that idea of the purpose of the testimony is to help them become convinced, whether they understand it all or not, that, you know what, Christ has done something in this guy's life. There's something different. He has changed. He's testifying about it, and he's saying so. You can sense the genuineness that's there, and trust that the Lord might use that to open the door. You know, and if it's a Festus, it's a Festus. Okay. But if it's an Agrippa, the door may open a little more. And if it's Timothy or whoever, you know, the door may open wide open. Anyway, you know, there are those who that will be very persuasive to them. There are those who it'll be a little bit interesting to them. There will be those who just aren't interested. But, you know, that's God's business. Our business is just to testify of the great things that Christ has done in our life. How He has changed us, how He has become the center of our life, how we can know our sins are forgiven, how we can know for sure that we have eternal life. And that's what we're doing when we give our testimony. And let me just give just maybe some general guidelines as you give your testimony. Is, you know, be conversational. You know, don't be feeling like I've got to say this. You know, a lot of times people in talking about giving a testimony would encourage you to write it out. And I would encourage you, if you've not ever really sat down and thought about, you know, how would I share my testimony, to do that. Think about it, maybe jot down some notes, maybe even write it out. But the point isn't, you know, oh, I got to remember how to say it. No, it's just sharing from the heart what Christ has done for you, what He's done in your life. You know, and thinking about it, maybe it'll just kind of help you think about it, because one of the goals is to do it in just a couple of minutes. Not in a half an hour. And then say, now can I share with you the gospel? And they're thinking, what have you been doing? You know, I mean, so the idea of the testimony is just to kind of capture their interest in hopes of opening the door to then sit down and open the Bible and show them passages of Scripture. Because, you know, folks, as important as my testimony is in my life and as important as your testimony is in your life, nobody's testimony changes lives. It may be, you know, prompt somebody to open it. It's the Word of God that is the power of God. It's the gospel. And so we want that opportunity to show them from the very words of Scripture what God says about eternal life. So we don't want to have our testimony take an hour and a half and, you know, and the person's attention span is gone. Okay? We just want to, in a very quick way, say, this is what I was like. This is what Christ did. and this is how he has changed my life, and now I know this for sure. Would you like to know too? Could I share a little bit more with you? Could I sit down and open the Bible and show you how God has convinced me so intently of these things? And so, you know, you're just doing this conversationally, not scripted. You know, and it's your testimony. Paul talks about me. It's not, you know, Agrippa, Festus. It's, you know, you're not preaching to them. You are sharing with them your testimony. You're testifying, witnessing of what Christ has done. And, you know, I would encourage you, realize how unaware many, many people are of theological terms, of church speak. You know, we use words like redemption. And that's a very powerful word to us. But a lot of people, you know, redemption means something a little bit differently. It certainly doesn't have theological overtones. A lot of people, we use the word saved. A lot of people, when you use the word saved, they're thinking saved from what? Car wreck? I mean, what? You know, we say, Christ saved me, you know, and we know exactly what we mean by that. You know, so you know, we've just got to speak as plainly as we can. And realize, try to be sensitive as you go along, that people may or may not, you know, have backgrounds such that they understand what you're saying. But they can understand that, you know, I was a rotten person. The Bible calls that a sinner. You know, and I was struggling with this and this and this. And Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, you know, I realized that He died to pay the penalty for my sin. I mean, those are terms people can understand. And He opened my eyes to that truth. And I asked Him to forgive me, and I asked Him to be my Savior, you know, and He delivered me from sin, you know, and I don't know, you know, and but just in just simple, straightforward language that you could talk with a young person about. But that said, you know, be an adult. Don't talk down to people, you know, and just talk, and share with them what God is doing in your life. I usually would encourage you to be a little bit general. If the person you're talking to, and I always debate on this one, kind of depends on what their tenor is towards the Lutheran church. I grew up Lutheran. And if I happen to know just from conversation, because a lot of times I'll ask them, well, you go to church somewhere. You know? Well, if they say they're of Lutheran background, you know, there's a question in my mind. Because if I say I used to be a Lutheran and I was a Baptist, that might have them say, well, what's wrong with being a Lutheran? You know, I mean, that and I'm... The goal is not to close doors, it's to open doors. But if the person would happen to say, well, I was a Lutheran and I just don't find any answers there, then I might say, you know, I was too and I experienced the same thing. You know, as long as I can say that truthfully. Sometimes people want to kind of sensationalize their testimony. You know, they think my testimony is kind of boring, and you know, or you kind of sense a point of connection with the person, so you overconnect and you kind of force something that, you know, is a little bit exaggerated or a little bit not really what was the heartbeat in, you know, in your thinking at the time. So we need to be honest. You know, if your testimony is not grandiose, you know, if you can't recount all these horribly wicked things because, you know, you don't remember much from before you were saved because you were saved when you were, then don't say that. That's okay. But you can still give your testimony. You can still share that Christ has come into your life and saved you from sin and changed your life. It's just, you know, you might have to go about it a little bit differently. But you don't want to exaggerate or things. You kind of want to keep things general, in general, you know, not naming denominations or specific churches or whatever, just kind of speaking so that hopefully the person can relate in some fashion. It's okay to, you know, be lighthearted sometimes, depending on the person. I mean, the idea is just connect with them and share with them what Christ is doing in your life. Explain how He has met and is meeting the needs in your life. And, you know, try to eliminate insignificant details so you can just keep it kind of to the point. Okay, on the bottom of your handout there, I've got just a couple of little graphics, if you will. Certainly there are way more than two ways to kind of lay out your testimony, but these would be kind of common. The first one is the one that we see in Paul's example, right? He just talks about life before salvation, talks about the cross, how Christ changed his life, how he got saved, and then talks about life after salvation. So just kind of just chronologically. The second one is kind of a flashback idea, And that might be helpful for someone who was saved as a little child and you don't have a whole lot of life before. At least not a whole lot of life before that you can remember. So, you know, laying out what I was like as an unsaved 3-year-old probably doesn't resonate the same way as it does for those of us who were saved after we had experienced enough of life to experience the reality of how ugly sin can be. Okay? So that person might just kind of give a little bit of background and kind of express that, you know, they're believing in Christ, whatever, and then kind of go back to, you know, a few years ago this happened in my life and it really made a difference, or, you know, without drawing attention necessarily to the age situation. But yeah, again, it's just something if you kind of think about how would I share my testimony. But it is a biblical thing to do, folks. And we really ought relish the opportunity to tell other people what Christ has done in our lives. I was on a little traveled one day last week, and a guy that I had not met before, and so we were talking at some length. You know, he's a believer, and we shared our testimony of salvation. I shared with him how, you know, I don't remember how this even came up. You know, I shared with him how I met my wife, or how we ended up getting married. You know, most of us who are married are glad to share that story. You know, ought we not be all the more glad to share the story of how we came to know Christ? You know, and it ought to be something that we just want to do and enjoy the opportunity of doing. Because it is something that gives glory to God. Every time, you know, we read about in the Scripture that there's rejoicing in heaven when a lost sinner comes to Christ. Well, you know, I think it's got to be honoring to God when that lost sinner then tells others about how God saved him, how he came to Christ. And so it's something we ought just be quick to do. 1 John 1:3 says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So he says, you know, here's things that we have experienced in our life. And we are just proclaiming that, declaring it to you, so that you might experience some of those same things as Christ works in your life. The testimony carries a certain amount of weight to it because it's true and because it's yours. And people can't refute it. And so it is, in a sense, authoritative in the sense that, I mean, it is what Christ has done in your life. But it's not the gospel. You know, and so our goal is always to get to the gospel. Our testimony is connected to the gospel, and we'll share things that connect with the gospel in giving our testimony, but the goal is always going to be to be able to just really lay out, you know what, all are sinners and come short of the glory of God, and what that means. And there's a penalty for that sin, and what that means. And there was a payment made for that sin, and what that means. And here is Christ, and He extends to you the opportunity to look to Him in saving faith, and what that means and how you can do that. We want to be able to give the gospel in its fullness like that. But a testimony oftentimes is just a stepping stone, something that God can use to open the door, to pique some interest, to give us an opportunity then to share the gospel more clearly and more fully. And so that's, you know, the purpose in this session is just get you thinking about that. And if you've not ever shared your testimony with someone, you know, maybe not even another believer, and you just kind of alluded to it, yeah, well, of course I'm saved, but you've never really shared how Christ opened your eyes and saved you. You know, that's a good thing. I encourage you to do that. Take that opportunity with another believer. Just say, you know, can I tell you how I got saved? Yeah, let me tell you how I got saved. And get comfortable doing that. And then ask God to give you the boldness, to, you know, when you're sitting down with a friend who says, yeah, I notice you go to church every Sunday. You know, instead of just saying, yeah, I do, and now let's talk about the Cubs, you know, you say, yeah, I do. You know why I do that? Let me tell you what has happened in my life. You know, I didn't always used to go to church every Sunday. In fact, I went for a number of years in my life where I never darkened the door of a church. And, well, now I'm giving my testimony. I'm telling them what life was like before I was saved. And I'm just going to move. And really, it's a very natural thing. If we ask God to just give us a sensitivity and just be aware of those opportunities as things come up, to just bring that right into, you know, I understand where you're at, my friend. I was there once too. Let me tell you about that. And people will generally let you do that. If at that point you said, hey, let me take out my Bible and let me show you a verse, they might shut you down. But if you say, you know, I remember feeling that same way. Let me tell you what happened in my life. You know, they're going to be curious. And they're going to let you talk for a little while. And if you keep it short and to the point, you know, and you're testifying and they can sense your genuineness and they can sense that you're concerned for them and that you're excited about this, you know, then when you say, could I show you a little bit more from the Bible about how you could know this too? Well, they may say no, they may say yes. But, you know, the door may well swing open. And we just need to enjoy those opportunities to share what Christ has done for us. Well, you may remember that last week I challenged you a little bit in a practical sense about giving out some tracts. I could ask for a show of hands, but I won't do that. But, you know, I wonder how many of you gave out at least one tract this week. And if you didn't, well, let's do it by God's grace. Okay? If you did, you know, and maybe you do that routinely, but, you know, let's just a little bit more. You know, a couple this week and a few the next week and just develop that habit. And let me encourage us in particular. I went to the chiropractor today, and I go about every other week. And thankfully, the Lord reminded me, and so I took some invitations to the meetings along and gave them to the lady there at the door and gave them to the doc. And you know, I'm a paying customer, so they're at least going to take it. And actually, the lady that stands there and, you know, checks people in and that whatever, she said, well, it's all right if I just lay this out here, maybe somebody else will see it. Now, I wasn't sure if that meant, she did look at it. I mean, she looked at it, she read it. You know, I wasn't sure if that meant that I'm trying to conveniently get this thing out of my possession or you know, whatever. But I'm thankful for, you know, she read it, thought about it. And you know, there's an opportunity for us to invite folks out. And so neighbors, coworkers, people that you meet along the way, you know, have a few invitations, have a few tracks. And take those opportunities and where the door's open, let it be open. All someone can say is no thank you. That doesn't hurt. It really doesn't. Okay? Someone says I'm not interested. It really doesn't hurt. So we ought to be quite liberal in reaching out to people in that way. And so I encourage us to do that. And again, that's just a stepping stone, a first step, a way to see that door opened to where we can share the gospel in its fullness. All right, let's close with prayer. Father, we're thankful for your working in our lives. We're thankful for how you've saved us. We're thankful that you give us the privilege of testifying of that salvation. Might we be quick to do so. Might we do so with joy and with excitement. Lord, we pray that you would just direct us to people and open doors with some we already know, to give the gospel, to share what you've done in our lives, to extend an invitation, to offer a tract. Lord, might we be a people who are looking always for that opportunity to see you work in and through our lives, especially in the lives of the lost about us. So I pray, Father, that you'd use this to encourage and refresh and help us along the way to that end, that we might become fishers of men day by day to greater and greater degree. I ask your blessing as we spend a little bit of time in prayer here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.